Good morning. Seems fitting to start this sermon by saying, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Right, I'll just get the electronic device fired up and we're off. We've got round to the liturgical part of the year again, haven't we? Called, commonly known as Advent. And it comes round every year. It's interesting when you are a preacher or a vicar or in the Church of England, you know it comes round every year, and you think, what am I going to say about it this year? I said that last year. But anyway, we'll see how we get on. We're thinking about the advent of Jesus coming into the world at the beginning of his ministry, and eventually when he returns. This morning, we're going to particularly look at John the Baptist as he prepares the way for Jesus. It almost seems, when you read the Gospels, that John the Baptist kind of appears out of nowhere. And that his ministry peaks just at the time when Jesus launches his own ministry. And we have that bit where Jesus makes his home in Capernaum just after John has beheaded. But if it wasn't for the meticulous Gospel of Luke, Luke the historian, we would not have as much detailed background of John the Baptist as we have. Luke, it seems, recorded and researched John the Baptist as much as he did anything else that went in his gospel. And the people who kind of witnessed John the Baptist, some of them were still around at the time for Luke to do that. We know, as a result, that John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. And we also know that because his father was a Levite, John the Baptist was a Levite. And he was one of those Levites that Malachi said was going to be purified. And they belonged to the priestly clan of Abijah. And every so often, the clans of the Levites rotated and went and worked as priests in the temple. Well, John was a descendant of one of those clans. So it's very fitting that he became what he did become, actually. Well, we know that John, his name, was given to him by God, by the angel, authorized by God. You call him John. That's what was told to Zechariah, his father. And we know that John was filled with the spirit of Elijah, with the Holy Spirit. That's what the angel said would happen to him. He would be filled with the spirit of Elijah. And we also know that the word of God came to John in the wilderness. In the wilderness. And we know what he preached. And amongst everything else, his main message was, prepare the way of the Lord and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Which is exactly what Jesus also started preaching when he first made his home in Capernaum after John was beheaded. There hadn't been a fiery Old Testament type prophet figure in Judah, in Palestine or that area, amongst the Jews for at least 400 years, about 430 years, when the last of the prophets died. So what a huge privilege John the Baptist had to be the herald of Jesus after the old prophet style, if you like. And John the Baptist was going to be the preparer of the way for the Son of God. Now, isn't that incredible? When you think about it, it's all right looking back on the narrative now, but at that time, John, the Baptist was the preparer of the way for the Son of God. Which is incredible, isn't it? It's amazing to be that person. What an awesome and astonishing task. And what a responsibility rested on John's shoulders. And it was a job he certainly gave his full attention to, didn't he? Gave it all his energy, living and ministering in the wilderness. He didn't have to go looking for a congregation. God just brought the congregation to him out of Jerusalem or one of the surrounding towns down into the Judean desert where he was. They came to him. The angel Gabriel had said to John's father before his birth, John will be great before the Lord, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And that's exactly what he did. But he did it in the desert. Have you ever wondered where John got his overall spiritual direction from? His whole message was rooted in the Old Testament, and it was rooted particularly in the book of Isaiah. So if you were to get your Bible out and turn to Isaiah chapter 40, you would find what I'm going to read now. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Words written at least 600 years before Jesus was born. And what do these words tell us about John the Baptist's mission? It was a mission from the wilderness, when most Jews thought that God would be found in his temple. He would already be there. But that's not what it says. It says that God would come to his temple through the wilderness. John was to prepare the way, the road, for the Lord. And that is to prepare the road for God to come to his temple in Jerusalem. John was to straighten out the desert highway, ready for God to travel on it. And that's exactly what he did in the desert. And all this was so that the glory of God could be shown to the whole world. You know, when Jesus was preparing to descend the Mount of Olives on what we celebrate as Palm Sunday, on that donkey, he stopped partway down and he was weeping. And he looked over Jerusalem and the temple and he said, "It will be destroyed." It's my phone ringing. You know, you should turn your phone off when you're in church, because now she's had to run out with it. That's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, that's a lesson for the preacher. Can't remember what I was saying now. Oh yeah. It was halfway down the Mount of Olives, Jesus was, and he was talking about the fact that the temple and Jerusalem would be destroyed. And he was saying that all this was going to happen because the Jewish people wouldn't recognize the time of their visitation. In other words, they wouldn't recognize when God, in the person of Jesus, was coming to his temple in Jerusalem. Just as he said, all the prophecies said he would come from the wilderness to his temple in Jerusalem. Which is exactly what Jesus did. He went out into the wilderness. He had all the temptations. He came from Galilee all the way down to Jerusalem to the temple. Through the wilderness of the world, if you like. But those in authority in the temple and those who worshipped there couldn't recognize God, the God that they worshipped. They couldn't recognize him, even though he physically stood before them and taught them. Isn't that sad? So have you ever wondered where John got his detailed knowledge of Jesus from? How did he know to call Jesus the Lamb of God? Where did John get the idea that he wasn't even worthy to untie the sandal straps of Jesus? How did John know that when Jesus came to be baptized by him, that he was the anointed one? Well, I think the answer to all of those sort of questions lies in how deeply John knew his Old Testament and how filled and guided he was by the Holy Spirit. So if you turn in the Bible that you got out from your pew front and went to Isaiah 53 and verse 7, you would find this. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers was silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. What did John call him? The Lamb of God. A prophecy from Isaiah about the special servant of God. Because a lamb was sacrificed on the Day of Atonement once a year in the temple for all the sins of all the people. And John would have known that this prophecy was so significant about what was happening once yearly and what was happening with Jesus. With the Holy Spirit working in him as well, John would have seen the prophecy's meaning quite clearly. And when you think about it, when he baptized Jesus and said, "This is the Lamb of God," what a sadness John must have had, knowing that the Lamb of God had to die for the sins of the world. What a ministry John had. We have a passage that we read in our readings for the carol services at Christmas, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there'll be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." I'm reading that passage at Christmas, but this would have been part of John's knowledge of the Messiah who was coming into the world. And he would have had an expectation of what was to come, empowered by that Holy Spirit, that spirit of Elijah within him. So there's no wonder, knowing that, and knowing that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that John said that he was unworthy to untie the sandal straps of Jesus. Because this guy was going to be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. No wonder he was unworthy to untie the sandal straps. Isn't it amazing? Because untying the sandal straps meant taking the shoes off when you were the lowest servant in the household and washing your master's feet. He wasn't even worthy to do that. That's what it meant. But John knew he'd got the right man in Jesus because he saw the Holy Spirit descend on him as he baptized him. And it was at this point that God spoke to John and confirmed that this, the identity of Jesus as the Son of God. That must have been an amazing moment for John in his ministry, wasn't it? As he baptized Jesus, as he knew he was the Lamb of God, as he knew he was the servant who was going to be sacrificed on the cross. And God said, yes, this is my Son. And the Holy Spirit came down. That must have been incredible. Don't you think? Yet despite all of this, Jesus declared John to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 11:11, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John was the best of men, yet at the bottom of the pile, it seems, in the kingdom of heaven. And that tells us something about our standing before God. Because of Jesus, we are actually royalty in God's presence. As the Apostle Paul put it, we put on royal robes. When we take on Christ, we put on royal robes. We are dressed as princes and princesses and queens and kings in the kingdom of heaven. We are royal. We have a status before God in Christ beyond anything we deserve. So where does all this leave us? Well, John the Baptist did the prepare the way of the Lord. And we're not off the hook from doing it. We too must prepare the way of the Lord. After his resurrection, and before he ascended, so when he was the risen Jesus, Jesus said this, didn't he? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. That's the command from the risen Jesus to us. We have a mission to be pursuing above every other agenda. Above every other agenda. We must be preparing the way for the Lord to enter the lives of all those who do not know him or do not belong to the kingdom of heaven. Our overriding agenda must be to bring those along the road to the kingdom of heaven. So we have to go and get on with it. Come on. Let's go and get on with it. Inviting those who are in the world to join the body of Christ. To join us. We must prepare that road for the folks to journey on, and we must make straight the highway that they are travelling on through the desert of the world. We must make sense of it for them. The road of holiness. The road to the kingdom of God. That's our job. To bring them to the cross, to Jesus, down that road. And it's our job to make sure that absolutely nothing stands in the way, that the road is cleared, that it's smooth and straight, that absolutely nothing stands in the way of all the folks of Ripley from joining us in God's kingdom. and we must tell them about Jesus. So, let us go and prepare the way of the Lord, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand and he is coming back. Maranatha. Amen.